A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 333. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about The Colour of Magic. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is a Sky TV adaptation of two Terry Pratchett Discworld novels. The production is from 2008 and had a total of 2 90-minute episodes. And it gives us a fun combination of fantasy worlds and wizardry with a comedy and a very impressive cast.
Yes, the cast list is just almost astonishing. We'll get to it in a moment. Some huge names involved in this production. So, the setup of The Colour of Magic. If you're familiar with Terry Pratchett's books, you will recognise the name Rincewind, a failed magician who, after 40 years of studies, has still not managed to reach level 1 wizardry at the Unseen University. And as a result, he's kicked out of the university, and after a brief brush with death, he will encounter a young tourist who has arrived to see the wonders of the magical city of Ankh-Morpork.
And circumstances throw these two together, the failed wizard and the tourist, and they are off on all sorts of adventure that will involve bar brawls and dragons and magic swords and, of course, the color of magic itself. Meanwhile, at the Unseen University, we see an ambitious wizard is climbing through the ranks and pushing all of those who stand in his way aside. And we have a sort of corrupt academia of wizards here.
Yes, there's lots going on in The Colour of Magic, which we'll come back to in a moment.
So looking at the characters, Rincewind is played by David Jason, who we know best from Danger Mouse and also from Ghost Boat. He is an incompetent wizard who has not even reached level 1 as a wizard, and he initially is trying to rob this tourist, but soon gets caught up in adventures alongside with him.
Absolutely. Great character, great actor. Alongside him is Twoflower, the naive and curious tourist from the Agatian Empire, played here by Sean Astin, who you'll know well from The Goonies, from, of course, the Lord of the Rings films, and more recently on Netflix, Stranger Things Season 2. And he is always accompanied by his sentient pearwood luggage, which is full of gold. He's a very well-off, although somewhat naive and trusting tourist. And again, if you've seen the covers for the first couple of books by Terry Pratchett, you might know what the luggage looks like. I think a huge trunk which is on legs and walks around and has its sort of mind of its own.
Yes, absolutely. And at this point, of course, Sean Astin was very well known to audiences as Sam from Lord of the Rings. And it's no coincidence that we see him as this sort of hapless tourist with some aspects that are a little similar to that character. The patrician, played by Jeremy Irons, is the ruler or governor of Ankh-Morpork, and he informs Rincewind of his duties to protect Twoflower and makes it very clear that the two have to be together.
Yes, very much so. Yes, and of course, Jeremy Irons cropping up is fantastic, as is James Cosmo, an actor that we've seen in numerous shows over the years. I think he's probably most recently seen on TV playing the First Lord Commander of the Night's Watch that we encounter in Game of Thrones. But here he's playing Golder Weatherwax, what a great name, the Arch-Chancellor of the Unseen University, who is investigating this spate of unexpected deaths among the rank and files of the wizard academics. And, you know, James Cosmo, as I say, we've encountered him before. I guess he'd almost have nearly as many credits in British Invaders shows as certain of the Doctor's actors, Brian. But yeah, great to see him here.
Yes, absolutely. He's always good, and certainly fun to see him here. And as Weatherwax, he is one of the few wizards who is both good and competent, where a lot of them are shown as not particularly competent or just sort of go along with things, or in one or two cases are more evil.
And talking of evil,
that brings us nicely to Trimon, a wizard played by Tim Curry, a well-known actor of stage and screen, including lots of Hollywood films. Trimon is an ambitious senior wizard who is prepared to murder his way to the top, and he is very involved with things and often gets his way by pushing whomever is in his way out of the way, so to speak.
Yes, and Tim Curry, astonishing to see him. And I know, you know, that sadly he's had health issues in recent years and we don't see him on screen as much as we used to, but what a fantastic presence to have here in this production.
Oh, absolutely.
And talking about another huge presence from film and television, we have none other than the voice of Christopher Lee, who is voicing Death. And if you're familiar with Terry Pratchett's novels, you'll know that Death is a sort of regular recurring character. Here, portrayed on screen in almost traditional fashion as a hooded skeletal figure with a scythe and with glowing eyes, and voiced in sonorous, distinctive fashion by the great Christopher Lee. And the character of Death will pop up at various moments, usually when things are going badly for the characters and it seems likely that they might be reaching their own final curtain. And, you know, again, how lovely to have heard the voice of Christopher Lee in another British Invaders show, Brian.
Yes, and Death nicely punctuates moments with a bit of dark humor. And in addition to that voice, we also have the voice of Brian Cox, the also very good actor who we've seen a couple of times on British Invaders before. And he is the narrator who comes in at various points during The Color of Magic.
Indeed, yes. And there's another big name that we'll get to when we discuss the second episode, probably in our next own episode. So, yeah, it's an amazing cast in this show.
Absolutely.
So let's continue the story of The Color of Magic with the hapless Twoflower, who has this urge to explore everything. He is fascinated by all the wonders of Ankh-Morpork and the worlds around it. So this will take them, as you said, through a bar fight in the Broken Drum Tavern, and then out on a dragon hunt into the Wurmberg, which, as you'll know from the books, is an upside-down mountain where the dragons and the dragon riders live. Rincewind will encounter and, in fact, acquire a talking magic sword, which will force him to be much more heroic than he actually is in real life. And already you'll see some of these familiar sort of sword and sorcery fantasy tropes being brought into this story, but all with Pratchett's, I guess, trademark humour.
Yes, absolutely. And alongside this, we see maneuvering for power in the university, and the wizards banish Rincewind as he had been there for 40 years and had not progressed. And they realize that this powerful artifact, the octavo of eight spells, had placed one of the spells inside Rincewind. And because Rincewind has this spell in his head, that's why he was not able to do any other magic and not able to progress. And this one spell that he has is terribly important. So the wizards now realize they need to get Rincewind back.
Yes, this interesting feature about magic in the Terry Pratchett universe, that these spells can only exist in one place at one time, or these particularly powerful ones can. So yes, they have to get Rincewind back, having banished him from the university, and now he's off on his travels with, as I say, the hapless Two-Flower. So there's a lot of great stuff going on in the story of The Colour of Magic.
Yes, absolutely. So getting into our production notes, Terry Pratchett, born in 1948, died in 2015, a much-loved British writer known for his fantasy and humor in the Discworld series, for which he wrote a total of 41 books, generally lampooning the fantasy genre.
Yes, of course. And as you say, a much-loved author, sadly missed. And interestingly, The Colour of Magic was actually the second Terry Pratchett adaptation for Sky TV. So we've done this slightly out of order because there was an earlier show, Brian.
Yes, there was Hogfather, which was a couple years earlier. And that also starred David Jason.
Yes, although he was in a different, playing a different part in that show. But of course, David Jason has got something to do with this show and its creation.
Yeah, he had been a fan of Pratchett's books and of the Discworld series for a long time. And he had campaigned to play Rincewind. He really wanted to do that, according to Pratchett in his intro on this.
Yes, and we did see something similar for David Jason and his star power, and we talked about Ghost Boat and that sort of lovely story of him discovering the novel of Ghost Boat as a bit of set dressing on the set of another show he was doing, and him then making, basically ensuring that it got made. And, you know, I'm not sure how much of a familiar name he is overseas, Brian, but in the UK, David Jason is possibly one of the best loved comic actors that's been on British screens in the last several decades. And I think it's something to do with, you know, I think his backing sort of made sure that this was going to be adapted by Sky TV.
Yeah, I think it did have a lot to do with that. And yeah, in North America, David Jason is not that well known. Although certainly people do remember Danger Mouse, but I don't know that they know who was voicing the lead in it particularly. But yeah, it really is a difference there of how well he's known in the UK versus North America.
So as we say, there's this earlier show, Hogfather, which we will probably get to at some point in the future. But the reason we've chosen this one first is because it's an adaptation of the first two Discworld novels, which were called The Colour of Magic and The Light Fantastic. But they did, although that, we believe Hogfather was a very sort of like faithful adaptation of that particular Pratchett book. This one, I think they were allowed to take slightly more liberties to put the two books together. And this was something that had the backing of Terry Pratchett himself, again, according to his own introduction to this this show that we've been watching.
Yeah, he felt that there wasn't enough plot in that first book to make a standalone production, and that the first two should really be somewhat told concurrently, and that there should be a little bit of juggling of how things would be put together, with the cliffhanger at the end of the first book being the cliffhanger at the end of the first episode. So they do a bit of juggling around to make things work.
Yes, and it does work well, as we'll talk about. It's the same production team as for Hogfather, a production company called Mob, adapted for the screen and directed by Vadim Jean. And, you know, as we say, Terry Pratchett is involved or was involved with the production.
Yeah, he did some work on the script and he's credited for that. Or he's credited as mucking about by Terry Pratchett, which is very typical of his style of doing things, we think.
Absolutely. Yes, that's very Pratchettian humor there.
Terry Pratchett was also allowed to show up on set as they were doing things, and they did actually cast him as an astrozoologist, so he has a minor little role, and he even has a couple of lines, which is quite neat.
Yes, it's fun to see him on screen. And in the introduction that you get on these DVDs we've been looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. And they wanted to have a narrator in this production, so they decided to go with Brian Cox.
Yes, great voice. Very familiar now to everybody from the huge hit that is Succession. But, you know, we've talked about him on British Invaders a couple of times, I think, and he does a great job with the narration. And of course, as we say, we had another very distinctive voice providing the voice of Death. Sadly, of course, Ian Richardson, who did that part for Hogfather and who we remember very well for Gormenghast. And of course, I think, Brian, you were a big fan of him in the original UK House of Cards production.
Yes, that is sort of an iconic role for Ian Richardson. Playing Francis Urquhart.
Yes. Now, sadly, after doing the voice of Death in Hogfather, Ian Richardson sadly passed away. So here, Christopher Lee takes over. And of course, you know, that's another great voice after Ian Richardson to have the voice of Christopher Lee. That must be wonderful as well. Also in Gormenghast, of course, another shared sort of credit with Ian Richardson.
Yes, absolutely. And they also, I think, decided to go with someone who was an older actor who was very well known and had a lot of big credits.
Yes, and a great voice.
Oh, for sure. And it gives them a second Lord of the Rings overlap, which for the time that this came out was pretty good to have for something that was lampooning fantasy.
Indeed, yes. The Colour of Magic was filmed at Pinewood Studios here in the UK, and in particular they had to use Pinewood's huge water tank set for the scenes where Rincewind and Twoflower get washed towards the edge of the world, or the edge of the Discworld. And I'm guessing, I'm not sure if that's the same water tank set that they use famously for the James Bond productions, Brian, but certainly they do an awful lot of James Bond work at Pinewood Studios.
Yes, I believe that water tank was built for the James Bond films, and I think it's the largest underwater filming facility in the world.
Yes, that sounds right. I mean, you are, again, our resident James Bond movie expert, but yeah, so another Pinewood Studios connection for this big production. Of course, there's some location work. London's Guildhall, the Royal Courts of Justice were used as the Patricians' home. And of course, they went out and about, particularly in Snowdonia. I mean, we associate the Lord of the Rings films with those wonderful vistas of New Zealand. Here we've got Snowdonia doing a pretty good job for some of the sort of outside scenery and looking very dramatic. And, you know, as I've visited that area several times, I enjoyed that very much.
Yes, I think it's a pretty good fit for what they're doing. They used quite a bit of computer-generated graphics for the dragons and some of the sword fights and fantasy cities, some of the backdrops, including the Wurmburg. So you have quite a bit of computer work being put in there, but I think for things where it makes a lot of sense to do it that way. Terry Pratchett's The Colour of Magic was broadcast in two parts on March 23rd and 24th of 2008 on Sky One.
So let's look at the availability of this show and how we've been watching it and ways that you might watch it in the future. Here in Region 2, of course, I've got the DVD. Just as the two episodes and a nice introduction by Terry Pratchett himself, when he talks a little bit about combining the two books and he talks about his own involvement and that small role of what he says is a very promising young actor as the second astrozoologist. So that's quite nice. I've been watching it for £11 on DVD. There is a Blu-ray, which is rather expensive at £40 at the moment. And I couldn't find it on any streaming sites. I'm not quite sure how the Sky Atlantic thing works, whether it's still available on Sky TV. Perhaps one of our listeners might be able to let me know about that one.
I think that DVD release also has a director's commentary on it.
Oh, okay. Right. I wasn't aware of that one.
In Region 1, there is a DVD release that sells for about $12 US or about $30 Canadian. So going with the US one may be a better option. There is also, right around now, if you're listening when this comes out, as of January 2020, there is a new Blu-ray release that includes both The Color of Magic and Hogfather, and that sells for $15 US or $20 Canadian. So that would be a very good option if you're looking for this. I also see that it's available in the US on Amazon Prime Video for $4. And I think it may be available as part of the Amazon Prime subscription as well. I'm not certain about that one.
Okay. Fortunately, lots of ways to watch it. And of course, it goes, I think, almost without saying that the Terry Pratchett novels, the two books that this is based on, The Colour of Magic and The Light Fantastic, and the other 39, are all widely available in a variety of formats. Very easy to get your Terry Pratchett fix, thankfully.
Yeah, so there are lots of options for the books and the television production on both sides of the pond, which is very nice. So next time, we will get into a little bit more of the plot and how these two books fit together.
We will indeed. We'll also briefly mention those other Terry Pratchett adaptations from Sky and a little bit about the Discworld series itself. So some stuff we've got to talk about when we come back next time.
Absolutely. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or you can search for British Invaders on Facebook and you will find our Facebook group there, where I'm sure we will be having some good discussions about comedy and science fiction and fantasy, and about Terry Pratchett and Discworld and so on.
And British Invaders is a member of the Voice of Geeks Network. You can find out more about British Invaders and several other bits and pieces at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.